Thank you, Nick, for allowing me to talk to the church today. What a pleasure it is to actually be up here in front of you guys. This is the first time I'll be delivering a sermon, so thank you for being here. Today, I will be preaching on John chapter 17 about unity of the church. The Gospel of John is my favourite book in the New Testament. Why? Because it shows and reveals Christ for who he really is. You know, we all have a story. We all have things that shape us and shape our beliefs. When I grew up, some of my family members were Jehovah's Witnesses, denying Christ as God. But the Gospel of John reveals Jesus as God, as our Lord, as our Saviour, as our Redeemer and our God. The stories in John are truly amazing. There's miracles, there's signs, there's walking on water, Jesus raising people from the dead. It goes on and on. It's a treasure trove of the glory of God. About the Gospel of John. It's a gospel that is distinct from the other three gospels. John is a philosophical and theological account of Jesus and displays Jesus as human and divine nature. Today, we're in chapter 17. That's our text. This is where we land. There are three distinct parts to this chapter. Part one, Jesus prays for himself. Part two, Jesus prays for his disciples. And part three, Jesus prays for all believers. So this chapter of John, chapter 17, is actually a prayer. Our scripture for today is verse 20 to 26. Jesus prays for all believers. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. Nick, have you got that on the screen? Let me read for you. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me, so that they may be completely one, that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, so that they will see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and they have known that you sent me. I made your name known to them, and will continue to make it known, so that the love you have loved me with may be in them, and I may be in them. Is anyone here Jesus? No. Is anyone here one of the 12 disciples? No. Is anyone here a believer in Christ? I am. Welcome. This prayer is for us. This section of the Gospel of John, this section on Jesus' prayer is for us. What I just read a minute ago, Jesus literally prayed for us. This prayer that Jesus prayed has been printed millions upon millions of times in the most popular book in the history of the world, the Bible. This prayer that Jesus prayed for us has been read billions of times. Do not these words pierce you? I've just read it to you. Does this strike you? Let me repeat something. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. May they also be in us. Verse 21. Let me remind you that this is Jesus speaking. It's amazing, right? Do you see and hear and feel the heart of Jesus? Shall we say a quick prayer of thanksgiving? Let's bow our heads. Jesus, thank you for putting us first place. Thank you for loving us so much that you died for us. Thank you for praying that we all shall be as one, as you and the Father are one. Amen. Just as when we are in need, when we are broken, when we pray for loved ones, we pour our hearts out to God. So too, Jesus prayed and called out to the Father on our behalf. May they all be one. In our passage, Jesus specifically makes note he not only prayed for his disciples, but those who believed in him through the disciples' words and teachings. That is, Christians, for all times and all places. Take hold, brothers and sisters, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the one who laid down his life for you and me, the eternal one, the one who ascended on high and is seated at the right hand of the Father, did not leave us to be scattered. No, he prayed for our unity. He prayed that we would be united, just as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are united. No, he did not abandon us. He did not leave us alone. Let me state to you, this prayer, this event, it happened the night before Jesus' crucifixion. He wasn't sitting down by the river or at the kitchen table saying a random prayer. This prayer is significant. For those of you who know the Gospels, and for those of you who don't, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all separate eyewitness accounts of the life and ministry of Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all share the same chronological sequence of events in the day leading up to Jesus' death. We have the Last Supper. Later that night, we have Jesus praying in the garden. Later that night, Jesus is arrested. And finally, we have Jesus' crucifixion and death the following day, where he is lifted up on the cross. Let me make an illustration for you. When there's a crime or when someone goes missing, the first thing the police do is they retrace the previous 24 hours so that they can see what actually happened. That's what the Gospels do. They retrace the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. The Last Supper, Jesus praying in the garden, Jesus' arrest, and Jesus' death on the cross. So what are we going to do? How do we approach this section of Scripture regarding the unity of the church? What do we do now? We remember. And as Christians, how do we do this? Less than 24 hours later, after this prayer, Jesus utters his last words on the cross. It is finished. We remember. This is a good time to do the Lord's Supper. Matt and Dawn, could you come up and serve the bread and wine, please? The Lord's Supper is an intimate moment between God and humanity. Father God, the Son, believers as one. So let us all share in an act of unity. Let's take communion together. So if we could all come up, take some bread, take some grape juice, go back to our seats, and we'll all have communion together. His body broken. His blood poured out. If Jesus wanted us to be united as one, what does that mean? I believe Jesus prayed for things to return to the way that they were intended. Do you remember in the beginning, in the garden, in the book of Genesis, when man and woman lived as one and communed with God unashamedly? That was in the past. Prophecy tells us of a coming salvation and a new creation where heaven and earth reunite and where God and humanity dwell together. That is in the future. But what about the present? What for us today? Let's return to our text. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. That's verse 21. I have begun to view the body through different eyes, from a kingdom perspective. And when I say body, I mean the body of Christ, the church. I don't see the person attached to this world any longer, how old he is, or if she's a woman, or where that person is from. Those defining parameters of a person have faded, and an eternal view of those people has replaced it. Brothers and sisters, we are connected together in Christ forever. Let me read another scripture for you from the book of Matthew. While he was still speaking with the crowds, his mother and brother were standing outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." He replied to the one who was speaking to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Stretching out his hand towards the disciple, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my mother and my sister." Jesus calls us brothers and sisters. Jesus calls us his family. He calls us to be united as one. Even up to his final moments on the cross, in the book of John, chapter 19, 26, he calls his mother Mary and the disciple John to be mother and son, to be family, united together in Christ, while at the foot of the cross. Human flourishing. What does it mean to flourish? To have money, financial security? Yeah, maybe. To have good health or to have a fine body? In some respects, yes. But what else? What do you think it means to flourish in this world? Think about it. What we as people see as human flourishing, Jesus flips on its head. He turns the tables on what it means to flourish and live an abundant life. Jesus says, humility. He says, righteousness. He says, mercy. He says, purity. Making peace. Even suffering all show what it means to flourish. We share in these blessings as the church when Christ blesses us. We flourish. Believers, our relationships have no end. The sooner we realize that we are chosen into a royal priesthood and that we have an inheritance in God's kingdom, the sooner we will see each other from a kingdom perspective. What we have here in this room, in this church, is a snapshot of God's kingdom. We begin to see glimpses of the kingdom of heaven. These chairs that you're sitting on, we won't be putting these out every Sunday. Soon it will all be over. Jesus has prepared a place for us in his Father's house. There are many rooms. He will accommodate all of us. The purpose of this sermon is not for me to give you a lesson. Who am I to give you a lesson? The purpose of this sermon is to join with you in an eternal relationship. The purpose is for us to unite as a forever family. forever God's people, and forever united in Christ. And I want to leave you with these final thoughts. When you go home tonight, if you've got a Bible, turn to chapter 15 in the book of John. Unless we love each other, how can we be one? And then when you finish reading that, go to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Unless we carry one another's burdens, how can we be one? And then when you finish that, go to Romans chapter 15. We are to please our neighbor before ourselves. Glorify God and Father with one mind and one voice. Amen. I hope that this message has been a blessing to you all. I pray that you go in peace. And can I ask Mark to close us in prayer?